1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18. So they're on the screen, or they're about to be on the screen, but it would be great if you could turn open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, because we will be doing a little bit of flicking elsewhere in the letter. So here you go, this is our Bible reading. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? To be this person, always full of joy, full of prayer, full of thanks. It's so positive, isn't it? But is it just Paul's positive pop psychology? I mean, look at those verses. In all reality, is that possible? Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. Now, there's a lot of bad stuff that goes on, isn't there? In our own life, in the world around us. Is it appropriate in those times to be full of thanks and to be full of joy? Well, research says that thankful people are better people. They are more energetic, more emotionally intelligent, more forgiving. They are more happy and more optimistic. They are less depressed, less anxious, and less lonely. And get this, thankful people are more socially connected. They enjoy better quality sleep. And if you're a thankful person, the research says, must all be true, that you will experience less headaches. Right? If you're a thankful person. So it seems the key to a happy life is not just to have a happy wife, but it is to be thankful. Thankfulness seems to be the key. So was Paul onto something? Did God know something before the research was even done? Well, maybe. But I reckon that the grounding for such belief is a little different when God calls us to be like this. Now, I don't know about you, but last few months, I've loved getting into this letter, 1 Thessalonians. I love reading through it, especially when you see new things or new connections. So thinking about these verses, been reading back, and to see there things that I didn't notice a few weeks ago when I was preaching through it. But they are there. So it's great to see it all tie together as you immerse yourself in God's Word. Sort of like a bit of meat left in the fridge overnight, marinating in all the juices and sauce and spices, taking in all the goodness, and for that, it's better. I feel that way about this letter. So what I want to do is show you two things that I've seen which I believe help us to understand how these verses, how they can be reality for each one of us. So the first is this, three words, faith, love, hope. So I've noticed these three words just keep popping up throughout this letter. A bit like a thread that Paul uses to tie together everything in the letter. So these three words mark who they are. They define them. Now that they have turned to Christ, they are people of faith. They are people of love. They are people of hope. And the same is true for us. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus, then we are a people of faith, of love, of hope. At least we should be. So let's have a look in the letter and see where we see this. So starting back in chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. And Paul says, we always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Just a few verses down in 1:8, that speaks of their faith, which you can see there. Turn over to 3:6. There it says, but Timothy has now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. 4:13 speaks of their hope. And 5:8. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. Faith, love, hope. As Christians, this is who we are. We are people of faith, love, and hope. And I want to say that being people of faith, hope, and love, then that means a life of joy, prayer, and thanks. So one leads to the other. So in other words, we can be full of joy, full of prayer and thanksgiving because of who we are in Christ Jesus. So it comes down to who we are, our identity. So if you have a look at 5:18, so our key verse for the night. So there it says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And flipping back to our first verse, chapter 1, verse 3, you can see it there, and looking at the end, talking about these things and our hope, which is in our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Faith, love, hope. It is our faith in Christ Jesus. It is our love because of Christ Jesus and our hope in Christ Jesus. So this is the first thing to see, being people of faith, love, and hope means a life of joy, prayer, and thanks. So it starts with who we are, our faith, our love, our hope. All right, we'll come back to that and think about it. But the second thing that I saw and got me excited this week, wasn't Tim Cale's goal, although that nearly did get me jumping up out of my beanbag at 3 a.m. These three things in verse 16 to 18, joy, prayer, and thanks, that's not the only place they are in this letter. All right, so Paul's already mentioned these things. Paul is not just telling them or us to be joyful always, to pray continually, to give thanks in all circumstances. All right, this is true for him. All right, it's true for him, and he models it to them. Have a look in chapter 3, verses 8 to 10. These three things all come together there. For now we really live. Right, even as he says that, you can sense his joy as he writes this. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. So there you have it for Paul. Those three things are all there together. Giving thanks, full of joy, praying earnestly day and night. This is despite their persecution, their distress. Life was not easy for Paul. He was kicked out of Thessalonica. Right? He couldn't stay there long. He got booted out. But despite that, he gives thanks, he is full of joy, He is praying day and night. All right, why is that? Because of his faith, his love, and his hope, that means a life of joy, prayer, and thanks. You see the starting point? It's not thankfulness. Right? Thankfulness flows out of who we are in Christ. Now, we start with Christ. We start with who we are in Christ. And flowing out of that, then comes our thankfulness. Our faith, our love, our hope in Christ, that leads to joy, prayer, and thanks. So these two things have helped me to see that these verses, verses 16 to 18, can be true for each one of us. And I think it is right to say that if you are lacking in joy, in prayer, or in thanks, then you're probably lacking in faith, love, and hope. But being strong in faith, love, and hope will mean being strong in joy, prayer, and thanks. So if you want to grow in your thankfulness, then that the place to start is to grow in your faith. Your faith, your love, your hope in Christ Jesus. So we can be full of joy. We can pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. But that doesn't come by trying harder. Right? So don't try to be more thankful. Oh, I've got to pray more. So you try hard to pray more. Now, they're good things, but if you want to grow in joy, prayer, and thanks, and I hope you do, because that is God's will for you. It's exactly what he wants. His will for you is that you are a person of joy, prayer, and thanks. So if you want to grow in these things, what does it start with? It starts with your faith, love, and hope. It starts with you being deeply convicted of the truth of the gospel and being deeply convicted of who you are in Christ. That you are a person whose identity is now in Christ. And that is how you need to see yourself. You are a Christian. Right, that makes up who you are. You belong to Jesus. So it's not that God is part of your life, or that Jesus is an add-on to your life. No, our life is Christ. Our Christ is our life. And when we've got that, that changes everything. So we're gonna have a number of opportunities tonight to be able to express our thanksgiving to God, our thankfulness to God. And we have so much we can be thankful for. So much. As we just reflect on his goodness, as we reflect on who he is, I've already started singing about it. He's deserving of all our praise, our life. Every day we have is a gift of God from him. Every breath you take is from him. He's given us his Son. We have so much to be thankful for. We got lots of ways where we can express that tonight together. But one of the key things here we want to see is that it's not just about tonight, that we want to be living a life of thankfulness. We're going to watch a video to see how this is true for someone other than just Paul that we've seen. Her name is Helen Barani. I was going to give you some tips of how we can grow in faithfulness, but what we're going to do instead, we're going to watch this video, this story, inspirational story of Helen Barani. So let's watch it. Now, her situation is very different to ours, okay? It is very different to ours. But Christ for her is very clearly not just in her life, but Christ is her life. And because of that, she can be full of thankfulness, whatever the circumstances. So let's have a watch.
It was so cold during the night. He would suffer hypothermia. So hot during the day that your skin would burn to the edge of the container. The bugs that bite you felt like fire all over your body. But like driving a nail into wood, every hit, every beating, every blow to my body drew me closer to God. These are some of the notes I took when I had a chance to spend a few days with a lady called Helen Barani. What you don't understand, or what you don't get when you first meet Helen, is her past. You see, Helen spent 2.5 years locked inside a metal shipping container for refusing to recant her faith. And not only that, she taught me one of the most profound spiritual lessons of my life. She taught me about thankfulness. If you were to wake up tomorrow with only the things you thank God for today, what would you have? In Helen's case, every day for 2.5 years, she woke up on the floor of a jagged metal shipping container inside a prison where she was beaten and tortured regularly. But one of the most incredible stories for me is her response to a beating that very nearly took her life. You see, Helen had been writing notes of encouragement and sending them to fellow prisoners, putting scriptures on them that she could memorize. And the guards came to her and they said, "Helen, where is your Bible?" And she said, "I don't have one." And they said, "Is it in your head?" She said, "Yeah, it's in my head." And they said, "Well, we're going to have to beat it out of you." They proceeded to grab Helen and they dragged her to a courtyard, placed her in the middle, and started to beat her with wooden batons. What she does next has single-handedly changed my Christian walk forever. You see, in the middle of this beating, Helen stops and looks at the guy hitting her and says to him, "I do not hate you, for you were just carrying out an order. But you need to know that I'm carrying out an order too. And that's not to renounce Jesus. So carry on." Carry on? I mean, when they were finished beating her, they simply threw her body back into the metal shipping container. And as she lay on the floor in the container, she began to sing the following. "Thank you for the cold nights. Thank you for the hot days. Thank you for the hunger, for the sickness. Thank you for the bugs that bite my body. Thank you, Lord. Thank you." Thankfulness. Have you ever stopped for a minute to think about what role it plays in your life? I mean, what role thankfulness plays in your everyday? If you're like me, it's probably not much. You see, I ask God for a lot, but in comparison, I thank Him for very little. The more I think about people like Helen Barani and the persecuted church, the more it begins to dawn on me that it's actually reversed. You see, they thank God for almost everything, and in comparison, they ask Him for very little. And this is because they're not following an institution called Christianity. They're following a living God. We're following a living God who walked the earth and who today walks the earth through His Spirit. Our gratitude, our thankfulness, And the level by which we measure it should not be based off a set of rules or expectations and buzzwords, I guess, created by this Christian pop culture. It should be defined by Jesus Christ, who walked with broken people, loved the unlovable, stood in the face of religion, led with a character, set of principles, and could not compromise for anyone or any deal. Did seem to care of things like brand, fashion label, return on investment, number of friends on Facebook, followers on Instagram. And didn't mind looking awkward if saying no meant the right outcome was achieved. And on top of all that, loved a dying and broken world with a passion that could not be filled, stopped, watered down, or contained. Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, who ultimately laid down his life so that a sinful, broken, and dislocated group of people could have eternal life with him. And for that, I'm forever thankful. If you were to wake up tomorrow with only the things you thank God for today, what would you have?
That's a powerful story, isn't it? An amazing story. My fear, as I watch and reflect on that, my fear is that my Christianity is just too comfortable. I don't know what your response is as you hear that. I don't want a comfortable Christianity. Do you? That's not what God has called us to. He's called us to himself through his Son, Jesus Christ. He has given us his Holy Spirit. So let's not settle for anything short of that. If you were to wake up tomorrow with only what you gave thanks for today, what would you have? Let's pray. Father, we confess that we are not as thankful as we should be. We confess that we take too much for granted. We have so much. You have blessed us so richly. You have given us life with you. Father, we pray, may our faith, love, and hope be so real and so deep that it does lead to a life of joy, prayer, and thankfulness. And I pray this for me and for all of us here tonight, for your glory. Amen.